Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Friday, May the 6th, 2022, and I have the honor to have federal whistleblower, National Guard whistleblower, Debbie Davis on with me, and we're going to talk about some of these problems we've got in this country, particularly the VA, but I also want to touch on John McCain and some of the stuff that he was involved with. Debbie, I'm going to let you pick it up.
Yeah, well, I just touched on something. Hello to everybody in your audience. And I have touched on some things with you, Stu, regarding John McCain, and we've been a part of helping expose some things. And so there was something that I just found out recently that ties once again to John McCain. And this was an incident that I heard about from somebody here in Minnesota whose husband died of not right away, but of later causes due to water contamination from a Marine base that he was stationed at.
At Camp Lejeune, I believe you indicated.
Yeah, and
I was on that base a couple of times.
Yeah, so she said, you know, he came back, he was sick, and he didn't die right away, but he later died of cancer. You know, it was directly related to Camp Lejeune. And then I looked it up, and apparently, you know, this was a really big deal, I'll get into what they found, but the reason why it ties into John McCain is because they found out in the end, when they did do a thorough examination of where the contaminated water was coming from, is it was coming from this dry cleaning company that was near the base. And remember how we were touching on how Cindy McCain owns all these dirty dry cleaning companies?
Yep, and she had one over there in Afghanistan that was importing the chemical they needed to turn to paste, all that, where they bring out their opium or whatever it is.
The heroin,
whatever it is, and they were bringing them back on drones, first being flown to Missouri. And that was too inconvenient for Jeb Bush, who's in charge of it. So they started taking it it's called Hollywood Air Base in Hollywood, Florida. So that's where the drones land, come back from Afghanistan, full of drugs, and John McCain's wife, who had the contract to supply beer and water and so forth to our troops, he was on the head of the Armed Services Committee, and he was a punk. His guy was in on the take for anything he could get. And John McCain, you're paying in hell right now, I guarantee you. But his wife was involved in this, all this stuff. And she owns,
yeah.
She owns what is a Budweiser or one of them, I don't want to...
Anheuser-Busch,
yeah.
But so they found, so that was something recently that I found out about. And there was another incident at Camp Pendleton Marine Corps.
Oh, God, I've been there too. Yeah.
So it's also under investigation. That's in California. So in Camp Pendleton, there was, it was a past disposal practices that contaminated the groundwater. It doesn't specifically say there was a dry cleaning company involved, but there might be. It was found 9 areas of contamination.
And
landfill operations, waste disposal areas, scrap yards, firefighting. Like the whole area was just like not, you know, it was like an EPA violation all over the place.
Interesting.
like who, I don't understand, I don't know who would have, should have been in charge of these type of things, but you know, people think that their son or daughter is safe. You know, you would think that there would be more
tighter control on it. Yeah,
yeah.
And call back the inspector general.
More, you know, checks and balances here, but the one in Camp Lejeune, it was like all these years from 1953 to 1987, it says that there was, they found volatile organic compounds in the water, and traces of PCE, TCE, benzene, and vinyl chloride.
Oh, God.
So later on they ended up causing, all these different types of cancers. So they cause kidney cancer in some people, non-Hodgkin lymphoma, multiple myeloma, all types of leukemia, liver cancer, bladder cancer, Parkinson's, kidney disease, systemic sclerosis, and cardiac. defects.
You know, Dr. William Clark, William, what's his name, Clark, I don't think he's living anymore. I think they assassinated him a while back. But he was the, he was a professor up there at the university in Wisconsin, or in Wisconsin. And they gave him the contract with the Department of Defense to find out why he was a pathologist. It's one that goes chiropractor to, or vet to next level up. And they can do autopsies on humans and do that. And they find mad cows, disease. And he was involved in all kinds of stuff for the government. They gave him a contract, a grant, $150,000 grant. That was his money. He could spend it how he wanted to, et cetera, to go up to Washington and or go to these different military bases and analyze why our troops are all sick. We found out they were using Clorox to clean their bathrooms with, their bunk or their barracks and so forth, and it would make black mold around the shower areas. It would make it disappear. But what it does is it turns it to gas. 10,000 times stronger gas than regular mold spores in your body. So he's like, oh no, you got it. We're going to clean these places down 3 times with soap and water and get all the shit out of here. And then he came back in. Of course, they cleaned the ducts out as well and everything, heating ducts. And they used ammonia on it. And they started using ammonia thereafter. And all the troops got well within 6 months. No longer were sick with mold. Mold poison is what it was. It was getting gas blown up on them. So,
and this was where?
This was in the different barracks across the country.
Oh, wow.
He took the contract with DOD and went in, cleaned them up. But you can't, you're on mold, folks. You got mold in your bathroom. Don't use bleach on it. Jesus, you're blowing yourself up. What, you scrub down with soap and water at least 3 times before you start using ammonia thereafter. But this is one of his ways of curing mold. And mold's very serious.
It's very serious. Yes. Yeah, very serious once it gets started. Yeah, so especially the black mold.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, these are things that I'm finding out about recently. And, you know, and then, okay, so then the other thing that happened that I was just talking to Stu about before we got on the show is that, so I've touched on some things regarding the VA hospital on my YouTube channel. I have a YouTube channel, Debbie Davis, and National Guard whistleblower, Arizona National Guard whistleblower. And I have touched on a few things where I've had issues with doctors at the VA and where I wasn't getting care or proper care, or I've had to wait for long periods. This was happening mostly under Obama, and then under Trump, he put out that we could call this number if we had problems with FDA. And so a lot of veterans called and complained about the doctors under Trump, because we were provided a telephone number we could call, and there were a lot of them that were super bad, and we were grateful for that number that we could call. Because it was either long waiting times or just, I've had them just completely deny my care for no call. One lady, and I called that number right away. And I mean, she was as rude and everything as you could possibly imagine, and just denied me care for no reason.
Yeah, it's because they got you marked as a whistleblower. Once you've been marked as a whistleblower, you don't get help anywhere. Not anymore. I mean, this whole system's corrupt.
Yeah, I think I just had a bladder infection or something, and she refused to provide me any care. She said, just go home and drink cranberry juice or something like that. And it's like, she basically just completely denied me any care. You know, she said, I don't have to, or, you know, unless it's just totally, like, life-threatening, and I'm not going to get you anything. You know, I mean, it plus she was just, like, super awful, you know, so there was just an incident here that was more serious than that. I touched on something that happened with the physical therapy department, where I had an issue where I had just a slight physical injury from my service, where I was in an accident and, you know, have some. So I was So I was just trying to get some physical therapy, and I requested physical therapy at the VA, and they now have, they didn't used to have these type of things, but now they do. And so, of course, I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm trying to get some physical therapy just to get the injury worked out. And so I went in there, and I normally physical therapy, you're supposed to get between 8 and 15 sessions. That's like usually what insurance covers, you know, not basic. And after like the third session, and there were only like 30 minute sessions, after the third session, this guy was trying to cut me off, the physical therapist. And he said, okay, I think we're done with our sessions here. And I said, well, like, who made that decision? You know, I said, I don't feel so at all. I said, I think we've only had three sessions. Why do you feel that we're done here? And I was furious. And then I tried to request a different therapist, and they wouldn't give me a different therapist. They never got back to me. I said, I have a right to request a different therapist. You know, and then they say, you know, I don't really know what the laws are, but you have to understand, like, the government is totally different from most other places. You know, they just seem to kind of do what you want, what they want. But in a normal world, you should get at least 8 to 15 sessions if you're going to get some therapy. You know what I mean? You know, not just three. So, they wouldn't give me with another therapist. And so then I finally went in there and I talked to a patient advocate who's supposed to be your advocate in between. And I said, look, if you're not going to provide me with a different therapist here, then you are just plain just denying me my care altogether, which would be in the negligence category, which is criminal. So, you know, do you want to outsource me care then somewhere else? Because I didn't get proper care here. And then they were giving me all kinds of a hard time. Like, I had to fight with them over it. And I finally did get outsourced. But see, that was one thing. That's another thing that Trump worked out for the veterans, is that we could get outsourced if it was too long of a waiting list or things like that. So I got first some care, but it was just, you know, it was just like this huge battle to get that done. But anyway, something happened here just over the weekend with a friend who at the same VA hospital here in St. Paul, where his father went in for a bladder infection that I guess turned systemic into MRSA, and he was in the ICU. But his father's a Korean War veteran, he's a friend of mine, and he ended up in the ICU over the weekend, and he was 92 years old, so he was up there in age. But he had a paperwork saying that he wanted he wanted life-sustaining care, you know, and my friend was his POA, his point of care, you know, my friend's
power of attorney,
yeah. And he made sure he wasn't there at the time when he ended up passing away on Sunday, just over a systemic bladder infection. I mean, you know, And so he's trying to investigate what happened. He wasn't there at the time. He was taking care of his elderly mother, and his dad passed away. They said that he went into a cardiac arrest, and they did not sustain his care. They didn't do the life-sustaining things, like where, you know, they were just supposed to give you electrostimulus if you're, you know, whatever they do.
Right.
Yeah, and he didn't. He said that the nurse told him that they didn't sustain, they didn't do any life sustaining, and he said, excuse me, we dropped off the paperwork and all this stuff, and you still didn't do life sustaining care, you're telling me this, and you let my father die? I mean, so he's pretty much in shock right now.
Well, I found out with my own father, because, you know, he was a Korean War vet as well,
uh-huh.
And I found out from him that, you know, when he was shipped one time to the VA hospital, because he had hearing aids coming, and so they shipped him down there because he had the same thing, the problem with the urinary tract and the whole bit that turned in MRSA also, and the whole bit. But I'll tell you, trying to get in that place was a friggin' nightmare because they were on lockdown. Oh, nobody's supposed to be in here, you know, blah, 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 and all this other. I said, I want to see if he's alive. and a whole bit, but he was in pretty bad shape. But it was a VA hospital, did not give him the proper care. Now, there was one called Blue Springs Hospital, and they gave him damn good care, where, you know, these other hospitals he had been at, he didn't get that kind of treatment. And the VA's one of them. The VA needs to be examined. I had a friend that was a head emergency room doctor there in Las Vegas, and he turned the place upside down. I mean, they actually canned him for 2 weeks, and here he was a colonel in the whole bit. And they canned him, and he turned around and got back. But, you know, the hospitals, my understanding from him being a whistleblower, like he became, is that he said that they had brought in private management to these VA hospitals and facilities, and they would have three or four doctors that they were paying to analyze who gets what kind of care and so on and so forth. And he said they weren't given proper care. He said all of a sudden the care started getting cut. Here is a brand new hospital as an example of VA's new hospitals in Las Vegas. But, I mean, the doctors themselves will sit there and tell you that they're not getting the proper care.
Yeah. It's just, it came from the top down. It just,
now the problem,
we're trying to investigate right now, you know, if he has some kind of lawsuit here.
No, I would believe you need to talk to a good RICO attorney about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have the paperwork, we have, you know, verifications, the paperwork was dropped off. He has verification, the paperwork was dropped off and everything. He just couldn't be there. You know, it's just really, it's just... but also, then I was talking to somebody else, and they said, well, here's one thing that might have happened, is that apparently under Obamacare, because I don't think Obamacare ever got overturned officially, and so I think a lot of the hospitals are still under Obamacare laws, and so apparently the way that Obamacare was written, they do not have to, by law, resuscitate after a certain age. I think like after 80 or 90 years old or something, like they don't have to, they can legally get away with not resuscitating under Obamacare. One of the things that was secretly written into Obamacare. So I was talking to somebody about that today. So if you have elderly parents in any of these hospitals throughout our country, you know, this is the kind of thing that can happen very easily. They don't have to, by law, resuscitate.
I'll tell you something else. If you have parents,
we're still researching, you know. So
you want to definitely, I give you everybody a big heads up and a big warning. You want power of attorney over your parents when they get a certain age. Get power of attorney, and also it has to be a separate document called medical power of attorney if you want to move them from one nursing home to another. Because I went through the bullshit. Okay. And it's called medical power of attorney and power of attorney, both. And people have to understand that, because if you don't have it, these nursing homes just can rape you. I mean, they can.
Well, he had power of attorney, and he was.
But he also. But I'm just throwing out the medical power of attorney as well, because that gives him. Otherwise, they say, no, you can't move him. I'm just telling you, in case you ever come across that, and people have that problem putting their parents in a nursing home. And you find out they're not getting proper care, and you want to move them. If you don't have that medical power of attorney as well, you can't move them.
That is just crazy. They make it so difficult.
Oh, it does. They just strap them down. I mean, you know, it's a kill zone.
He's like, what more could I have done? I mean, I just wasn't there at the moment that everything happened. You know, I can't be there every moment because I was taking care of my other elderly mother. And,
I'm sorry to hear about this, but he's gonna have to get a good attorney of some type and go after him.
Just a heads up of these type of things that can happen at the VA, you know. So, just wanted to touch on that today. But did you say that the last time we were talking, did you say that you're having problems with some of your rental? They're trying to give you a hard time.
Oh, yeah, they're trying. There's three neighbors in here. You know, I came in here with another guy, a friend of mine cuts trees for a living. So, he came over, and he cut a bunch of trees because we had copperheads dropping out of the trees within 10 feet of the patio out and back. And there were several neighbors complaining about it. And a mountain lion rancher here one night or one afternoon, two neighbors, couple, my age and up, were sitting on the patio. And here's a mountain lion chasing a deer through the backyard. Well, 2 days before, KCTV5.com, the local TV station, one of them, someone sent a video of a mountain lion being about 4 miles from me, north of me, on the other side of the freeway. So here we are, I got this mountain lion, so I said, no. And snakes falling out, I could see them copperheads. They go up and bite the birds and then, you know, wait until they hit the ground. And these things are unbelievable. They drop 3 and 4 stories out of the tree, these copperheads. So I said, you know, I got to get rid of this, some of this problem, and open it up. And it pissed off 3 neighbors. And all they've done is just complain and complain and complain and complain to the management. They called the police on me. The police told them this last time they were out here, told this one particular ex-cop, she's an ex-Kansas City cop, told her if she ever called the police again, they were going to arrest her for false reporting. Now, I'm going to sue this place. They told me I got to move by the 28th. Well, I'm in low-income housing. It's cheap. HUD, low-income housing, because of being disabled.
They You have a safety issue with copperheads?
No, because of the three complaining, these broads that are complaining. All they've done is complain since the first day I moved in here, basically.
What are they complaining about?
All kinds of stuff. So I'm going to go to the police department this week and get copies of all the reports that were filed or incidences where they came out, et cetera, and then we'll see exactly what they're saying. But what they have said, but what they said to other neighbors, they've done nothing but committed so much slander and defamation of character. Well, I hired an attorney. He's going to go after him over it. But still, you know, I may be homeless myself here soon, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, so that's the other thing that a lot of people are dealing with here is that everybody's having a really hard time in Minneapolis here. Everybody's having a hard time finding any kind of decent rent.
There is no, basically, like in Jackson County where I'm at, there's no low-income housing even available. Yeah. And HUD's so far behind, they've gone up because of the amount of homeless and stuff. And I'll tell you what they're doing, Debbie, because Joe and I have talked about this and looking at it. If you look at the RITs, they're called Real Estate Investment Trust, because I looked at this years ago and started watching, you know, the ex-in-law crowd, Norman crowd, buying up everything. And they were stealing houses from people and claiming that they bought their equity or bought their mortgage and they hadn't been paying it. And they got about 14 million houses out of people since bank bailout. Now, there's another side to it. These real estate investment trusts, what they're doing is so much of it is drug money, especially with Blackstone, BlackRock, it was called.
BlackRock.
Norman, okay. Yeah. And they created a huge trust. Now they're going around, they're one of the biggest, along with Vanguard, is buying up all the houses in America. And they're coming in and offering them more. They're offering $20,000 and $30,000 more than the house is even appraised at or their asking price. And right here in Kansas City, they're buying up everything. Nobody's getting into housing. And then they're turning around and rent these things for double the amount of money. And that's the problem. They're creating a house shortage is what they're doing. And
so that's exactly what's happening here in Minneapolis.
And Blackstone, BlackRock.
Over the country. And nobody, I mean, you know, so you can find sometimes, you know, rentals for 600, you know, 400 or 500, 600. Now they're like, oh, for sure, they're like 1,000 up.
Yeah.
You know. Just like for a one bedroom. I mean, you know, it's just that's what I'm hearing, and that's what I've been hearing from people. And then a house in Minneapolis that used to be like 150,000 a year is now like 300,000. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like they've had on the news, and BlackRock, Blackstone was a spinoff of the drug money from Silverado, Neil Bush director, laundered out of Denver from Iran-Contra. And that's where they got all the money. Now, they supposedly took over the Federal Reserve a few years ago. And they were also the ones that did an investigation on themselves, their parent company. I forgot the guy's name that runs BlackRock, Blackstone. But he's a board of directors of the Council of Foreign Relations as well. And I'm trying to think of his name, but it's all drug money. And they're still, oh, yeah, it's all drug money with Blackstone, BlackRock.
Yeah. really creating creating problems with people trying to find any kind of affordable housing right now.
Well, I mean, yeah. they've Angie Riconosciuto with Kansas City, KCTV5.com, has done a couple specials on it just in the past couple nights about how nobody can outbid these people. They're coming in with cash.
Yeah.
Cash. Paying cash and making them $30,000 more offer. Cash. Move. And they're doing it. You know, people are wanting to sell their house and stuff, but nobody else is able to get to those houses. Now, I got a friend that's a builder here, contractor, and he got a contract with one of the boys, okay, to put up 200 rental properties, brand new houses, 1,600 square foot houses. They're going in with rental properties, brand new. And he says, Stu, there's such a shortage right now of material. I mean, I used to buy from International Paper here. It was the cheapest place to get it. And they're in the lumber business, of course. And he's buying from the same group, International Paper. And he's telling me that he has to put an order in on a house 6 months in advance to get the wood for it. Used to be, hey, you take down the plans, you say, hey, run it, send me the amount of wood, and you'd have it 3-day delivery. Now it's 6 months. I mean, they're creating these shortages intentionally. And now we got what is it, 30 food processing plants in the country that have burned down in the past few months.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's a lot of food processing plants to be going out of business. I mean, they're creating a food shortage, a housing shortage, and a job market that's unbelievable. Shortage, should we say, work for no wages.
Right.
I mean, we're living in, America's going to hell, and then the amount of people that are coming across the border, and Debbie, I was kind of hoping Joe would join us, but he had something to do, because he had some numbers on this. But they're bringing in, like, they brought in 100,000 kids, orphans, across the border in the past 12 months or something like that. Where are their bodies going to? They're cutting them up and using them for body parts. Some of them, the other ones, they're putting them in these sex rings.
Who knows where the kids end up? It's scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable what our government's involved with. And after what you found with that air base down there, you know, or the National Guard base, and they were doing what? Shipping body parts, trafficking in human beings, shipping missiles and weapons to other countries without U.S. government permission. And this was John McCain running the damn show, wasn't it?
Yeah. He was a piece of work.
Yeah, and he's got a daughter that's just like him that goes on The View or whatever it is. That piece of garbage. And that mother of hers, oh, my God. She's dealing with narcotics with Jeb Bush, bringing the country.
Right. Yeah. But this is the problem. And then what's happening is some people are ending up homeless. And then what they're trying to do is they're trying to put people in the homeless shelters and like label them mentally disabled and then start to like push them into these centers where they can like, you know, put them all mentally disabled and like put them all, get them all drugged up and put them in like the system, a government system.
Yep.
You know, and that's what they're trying to do. They already started doing that. They already started rounding up homeless people in California, I think, or like this is like their next agenda. Okay, so they're making people homeless.
Yep.
And then understanding is their next agenda is going to start rounding people up, rounding the homeless up, and then, like, you know, labeling them mentally disabled and putting them in, you know, government-type housing where they can, where they can watch them and force them to do whatever they want.
I know. Low-income housing like I'm in. Yeah. Took me 6 months to get in this cheap place.
Yeah, so that's another thing, you know. But yeah, so there we got that going on, and then there's like all these. I don't know if there's issues with carjackings where you are at, but I mean Minneapolis. There's been because of the winters here are so cold that like over the last couple of years, there's been tons of these carjackings going on, and so people what they do is they if you don't have a remote starter. They go out and they start their car before work, and they just leave it running for like 10 minutes. Well, like
all come back out and they're gone. Yep.
Yeah, and then it's like but it seems like an organized operation, because it's just like, you only started for like 10 minutes. Like, who's watching these vehicles? You know, I mean, there's been like 440 carjackings.
We've had a lot of theft and stuff going on. But one of the big issues, like here in Kansas City area, is murders. It's every night. There's been a shooting, three people dead, two dead, and one is in the hospital. And there's one incident. Then they've got another incident on the same night at some other place, and they're doing it right out in public. They shot somebody in Westport, and it's been there for years, a drinking establishment, restaurants, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been there, you know. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, there's like a shooting right out in front of one of the restaurants last night, I believe it was. It's every night in Kansas City we're having two and three shootings, dead bodies. And I'm saying, yeah. It's black against white, black on white. It's getting huge, the numbers. But a lot of these shootings here in black areas, and it's because of their drugs. They're not paying their drug bill. That's what I keep maintaining. So they go in and blow them away.
Okay, so it's drug-related. Yeah, but that's because there's
probably
Northeast Minneapolis still happening, too. It's probably drug-related also.
It's just, yeah. It's crazy. It's every night. I've been watching this on the local news. Two and three different shootings. People dead.
Mm-hmm.
Going, oh, my God, you know. We're going to have a lot of problems in this country, and it's just not blacks shooting them. These are Mexicans as well. And with all the border opened up, I mean, good Lord, I forgot the number that are coming across this border. And it's just not even the south border. I mean, we have to look at a few things, Debbie, because you're ex-military, I'm ex-military. We're about ready to be invaded, I believe, because we got 200,000 Russians and Chinese troops on both the Mexican and the Canadian border of the United States. We got a president that's already said, Putin, or not our president, but Russia, Putin, has made the comment, you don't ship weapons and to the Ukraine, or else there's going to be consequences. And they've even made, there could be a limited nuclear exchange. They made a comment. And you look at Nancy Pelosi going over there. You look at the Department of Defense head chief, secretary going over there on a special trip and saying that we're going to arm you up and we're going to give you so many billions of dollars. I mean, this is totally insane. It's like they're intentionally destroying the United States and getting ready to destroy it. I mean, it's all intentional. It's obviously, it's planned.
Our own people, they want to send weapons to the Ukraine. Our Biden wants to send weapons to the Ukraine. Yeah, instead of helping his own troops here.
Right.
Yeah.
And look at our troops. Right. Okay, the ones that didn't get vaccinated, they're out of the military now. Who's left? Our troops are all vaccinated. Now, if you look at the Russian troops, they aren't vaccinated. You look at the Chinese troops, they aren't vaccinated, folks. And it's a definite kill shot. You melt down. Your body melts down and you're dead within 5 years if you take that shot. Now, they're reporting now on the news, on the mainstream media yesterday, oh, 1 million dead from the COVID shot. 1 million of them have died from the shot. And they're saying, oh, it's Johnson & Johnson was the reason. They're trying to point the finger. Now, we're talking people dead. It isn't 1 million. It's 2 million dead is the numbers we're coming up with on this around the United States, and they're not talking about it.
No, the troops are furious. They feel like they're just nothing but like some kind of guinea pig.
Well, they are a guinea pig, and I guarantee you that we're gonna see a lot of troops dying over this. Usually within the year after you get the shot, you're dead. There's a hell of a lot of that, and people don't realize it, you know?
That's one of the reasons why I'm out of the military, that I'm glad that I'm out. I mean, for various reasons, you know, I got illegally kicked out, but I mean, I at least I'm not in to deal with this kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, oh no, it's very true. They're getting sick and they're, you know, getting weakened because of this shot. And there's a guy in Minneapolis that has a radio show here, Stu Peters, and he's right out of Minneapolis here. And he had this guy on talking about how the people have been dying from the COVID medications.
Yes.
Resveratrol or something is actually killing people instead of the COVID itself. And he's been exposing that. It was like this huge show he did a few weeks ago that just got tons of views. And this doctor is actually coming forward and saying, look, this this drug is not safe. People are, have been dying from this particular drug, not the disease. Risperidone, I believe it is. And he was kind of blowing the whistle on that. You know, so, you know, if you go in for COVID symptoms, you know, you could die from the drug, is what he was saying. So, yep. You know, but yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, so.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're stuff going on.
Go ahead.
No, well, I just wanted to touch on some of those things right now. I mean, you know, so, I, you know, if you want to touch on more.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The main thing.
Whatever you want to talk about.
Well, those are the main things I wanted to talk about. You know, and well, and then you know what happened to Stu Peters too is that they tried to SWAT him. They illegally, the SWAT team came to his house after he did that show.
Interesting.
And, they were outside of his house and they said they made up something. They said a neighbor called and said that you were threatening to kill yourself. And he said, I never called, nobody ever called. And he was videotaping the whole thing. And what they were attempting to do is they were attempting to have some kind of reason of arresting him because he did that real controversial show about that, you know,
yep.
With that
doctor. That, to believe me, I've been swatted when I was in Las Vegas because that stupid Ted Gunderson. He was a troll to the max. And I got swatted because of him. They didn't arrest me. They left. But they tore the house up.
SWAT team came after you before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they came after me.
Yeah, they came after the clown. So I thought that they were going to do the same thing to me, too. And that's why I did a radio show saying, you know, I know this SWAT team has tried to go after Sue. They'll probably come after me. You know, I was touching on it before they even tried. You know, don't even try to do that with me because I already know that you are going after these type of people like myself and you're not going to get away with it because, you know, whether you're not going after people for legitimate reasons. You're going after us because we're whistleblowers.
Yeah, and that's the problem, man. You know, it's just like my website. If anybody knew the amount of time I spend on my website, I'm not being paid and donations hardly even coming in. But
right.
The hours. Go and look at the evidence, folks. Look at Larry Mizell, the gangster, how he is using, because I've got it posted on their new banner at the top. There's a new link that says cyber attacks against Stu Webb. And take a look at those folks. And take a look at some of those people. Look at the one that's the neighbor, as an example. My neighbor, the ex-con, her network. Oh, I blocked on your internet, said Stu. Then I ran her IP. One of the keys is when you run their IPs, they got multiple IPs. You run those IPs, and there's your networks. Go take a look at a couple of them. I put them up intentionally because they're going to get charged if I get my way. It's felony. Each time that you try to break into my website, it costs you 10 to 20 years, minimum 10, max 20. It's a very severe crime to bother somebody's website. And I've got, I think it's around, gee, many Christmas, 200,000 hits a month are them, where they're trying to break the PHP code and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I had a couple,
you know who it is that's doing that, right?
Yeah. I mean, and you look at Larry Mizell, where it's called Wide Open West Financial or something. Take a look at that network that's blocked, that entire network. He was using, and these were people that were working for him, and they are using, if you can believe this, the Department of Defense folks network. You can see it. It says DOD net on it. And they're actually using it, committing espionage by using the Department of Defense, a private company, using their network to do cyber attacks against people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my understanding is the CIA is very much involved in hacking everything. And they're, you know,
Oh, they are. They are.
Talked about this, there's everything has gotten infiltrated. You know, the police have been infiltrated with the deep state, the FBI have been infiltrated with the deep state, and the CIA is just completely taken over by the deep state. You know how
it
we
is.
Talk about this, right?
It is, you know, Ross,
right? Regular government, and there's a shadow government.
Yeah,
so
you know, Ross Perot did a sting operation on my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Melvin, and stimulated from the 1992 election. And I was hiding from the FBI that was trying to arrest me, and then later locked me up for 2.5 months and dismissed the charges against me. Terroristic death threats to Leonard Millman and my ex-witch doctor, supposedly. Never happened. You go listen to the conversations on Radio Bar 1 and down towards the bottom, because I posted them years ago. Now, they dismissed charges with prejudice and the whole bit against me. But during a period of time, Ross Perot pulled out of the election in 1992 after I made a phone call to him because of what's called Operation Lockdown. I got it from Al Martin through Margie Sloan. And I'm hiding from the FBI, and I'm calling her collect on occasion and wouldn't be on the phone but a few minutes. Now, Ross Perot, after Ronald Reagan got shot, Ross Perot was an Office of Naval Intelligence, but he never served a day in the military after he got out of the academy, because he was a smart cat and gator. He went into the intelligence side. And, of course, he did a lot of software for all of our toys, missiles and stuff like that. But Ross, during that election, I talked to him, and he used my information about HUD and Silverado and all this. He was using it against them. They forced him out of the election temporarily. And then he comes back in September, and this was the 1992 election between Bill Clinton and Daddy Bush. So he wanted to see that Al Gore, because he wasn't dirty at the time, he said, he wanted to see to it that he got in there with Clinton, and then they would knock Clinton out for their drug running and their connection in Iran-Contra and all that. That was their intent. But it didn't work. And Ronald Reagan gets in, Bush and Reagan, and Reagan hires him of one of six people to be an oversight committee against the CIA, because he thought the CIA was involved in shooting him. When it was Hinckley, who was Hinckley's brother, by the way, the one who shot Reagan, his brother was at Neil Bush's birthday party that night in Denver, Colorado, which was kind of ironic. And they were friends. And Hinckley's father was in the vice president's house having lunch with George Bush when Ronald Reagan was shot. I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, you
which
take
is all CIA stuff, because Bush was the head of the CIA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so here you got Ross Perot. He's oversight. Well, he sees all this drugs and guns and everything else. So in protest, he set up an operation. And it was 150 men and women were involved. Some were taken out of the IRS, some were taken out of the CIA, et cetera, be part of this operation, go after the drug runners and drug dealers. And here he's got Leonard Millman, my ex-father-in-law, and he's got him going at, he's looking at this, and they set up a dummy corporation called M&L. And folks, you can punch in M&L, Business Machines, in my search box, and you'll see a document in there, and it's marked, and it's the U.S. attorney's bribe. Well, when they took it to a grand jury, and there was this attorney out of Washington that was the prosecutor on it, they had 150 federal agents, local judges, state judges, federal judges, prosecutors, FBI agents, DEA agents, everybody was in on the payroll. And the magic number was anywhere between $1.5 million they paid him and $2.5 million over several years to do certain things for them, to attack people, do different stuff, bring them up on fake charges, all this crap. Well, the only people that happened was Mayor Frederico Pena, who had taken a bribe from Millman, from Phil Wynn, actually, the ex-HUD figure that never spent a day in jail and was supposed to be sentenced, and he never was, because of a Feinstein or Feinsilver, the judge in Denver, covered it up and sealed the case. Anyway, he's the one that paid the bribe out of M&L for Millman. And he never got charged for it. Or he got charged for it. I'll take that back. He got charged on the HUD stuff. He never got charged for that. But they found during that investigation the people at M&L, good guys, who had targeted him in Denver. They found 150 of these bribes. Now, Mayor Frederico Pena takes a $2.5 million bribe for voting on the Denver airport, and then they go and make him Secretary of Transportation underneath Bill Clinton. Then he gets moved over to the Department of Energy, underneath Bill Clinton as secretary, and that's when he had to resign because he was under indictment, so he had to resign because of Ross Perot. Well, they indicted my ex-father-in-law. He had to pay an $80 million fine for bribing 150 agents and different people. They fined Larry Mizell, who took over for Milman when Milman died in 2004. That's one of the 12 disciples of Satan, eating babies and all this crazy stuff with the Bushes. He paid a $10 million fine. And Norman Brownstein, the one that was his buddy in law school in 72 when they both graduated, he became CIA counsel to Daddy Bush in 1975 when he was CIA director. Bill Barr answered to him and others, and they called him the 6th CIA Council. They were the ones that were setting up all kinds of stuff, including doing the first mortgage fraud crap. They started doubling up the mortgages. Well, here Brownstein was on board of directors with Neil Bush, and so was Larry Mizell, laundering Iran-Contra drug money. Nobody went to jail for it. $9 trillion in 12 years went through Silverado. But it's an interesting cat and gator thing. Milman pays $80 million fine. He's got a year to come up with all the money. Brownstein's ordered to pay $10 million, and Mizell pays $10 million. And Frederico Pena had to pay $1.5 million. He got a $2.5 million bribe, but he spent $1 million of it. So they told him to cough up the other $1.5 million to pay his fine. That's what he did. But he claimed he was resigning because of personal reasons, and it wasn't. This all went down in 1997. And I was invited to the grand jury, went over there, had my invitation and everything, and these two federal agents, one, Mark Holslaw, dirty FBI agent, standing in front of the door, says, "You're not going in there." "Yeah, I am. I got a subpoena." "No, you attempt to go in there, we're going to arrest you, put you back in jail, and you'll be in jail for a long time this time, Webb." I said, "I'll be back." Well, next day I found out they killed the grand jury. Sealed it under national security because too many people were bribed and paid off. Just a war story, Debbie.
Yeah, well, yeah. And you've been through all these type of things that most people haven't survived.
No, they haven't. I'm lucky after 38 or pushing 39 years of this to even be alive. I only credit Jesus Christ with that.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. So... But yeah, there's more. There's stuff coming out about the CIA that is just going to blow people's mind. I mean, how truly corrupt they are, and how they've been being more and more corrupted every year.
I think there's a law.
Wolf Senior was super corrupt. He was the head of the CIA, and he corrupted the whole thing. But I mean, it's been corrupted since the 40s. Now they're not. My understanding is they're not they're just completely corrupt, where they're not involved in any kind of legitimate operations.
Criminals in action.
They're all deep state. So people have to understand, deep state, like they're getting their money from dirty sources instead of legitimate sources. And they're not, the CIA is not who people think they are. I mean, you know, Central Intelligence, who knows what the CIA even does?
Yep.
You know, it's like this real secretive operation. You know, if they were on the up and up, you know, they'd be talking about it on the news, like Central Intelligence Agencies, you know, keeping us safe, boy, you know, good for the CIA. But they never talk about anything the CIA is doing because they're not involved in anything good.
No, they aren't. And if you go to my website, and look in the breaking news column, it says CIA on Stu Webb's website. Take a look at it. You can see it. There's their IP. And it says CIA.gov. What are they on my website for? There's no hookbacks or trackbacks. My website loads in 15 seconds.
They're stalking all the whistleblowers. The deep state operations are involved in the legal spying.
Yep.
And they're part of this targeted individual program that have been stalking me for years now. And my understanding is they're just going to be completely defunded because they're finding the direct links from the CIA involved in the deaths of a lot of veterans. Because, you know, there's been 60,000, you know, supposed suicides since veteran suicides. Like, it's like a real crisis since, 2010.
Oh, yeah.
But they're finding that a lot of them were not suicides. They were murdered.
I hear you. I understand.
And also, so I touched on this as well. And then there's, okay, then there's 81 deaths. Now I touched on this on my last video, the last couple of videos. Okay, so now there's 81 deaths at Fort Bliss, or Fort, yeah, Fort Bliss, I believe, or let's see. And then I think it's Fort Bliss, and then there's, you know, about 20 to 25 murders at Fort Hood. Okay, this is, these are, and so these soldiers are being murdered right at these bases. Now, a lot of the special, it's where the special forces are, the 81 that have died. So what I've been touching on is the fact that I think that they were targeting myself, you know, like people like myself, that they think that we know too much. And I think that those, so you have to understand that there was secret CIA operations going on at these military bases where these soldiers ended up dead. So, you know, I think what happened personally
is get that rid of them.
The soldiers got wind of something, or maybe they showed up at the wrong place at the wrong time or something, and then, you know, they maybe they thought they knew too much or saw too much, and then they would end up, they're ending up dead.
Yes, that's what they do to them. They use them and abuse them. Kill them.
And so this is, and also, so there was, you know, a few that ended up dead at the Arizona Guard. I think there's a lot more than what anybody really knows, because Arizona is like the head of the deep state cover-ups. So I'm sure there was a lot more than what we ever even realized, but there's been, somebody told me about all of the recent ones. There's been, in like the last 3 years now, there's been 81 soldiers dead at Bliss, and then about 25 now at Fort Hood. And they're being, they're found like bludgeoned to death, like hammered to death.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and so they're linking the CIA to all of these deaths. So, I mean, the CIA is in big trouble. I mean, and then they're also finding that, you know, because I know that they've been a part of my illegal surveillance, because I know that I've got put on this targeted individual program, and the CIA is involved.
Oh, yeah, they are.
So I've been a part of helping link the CIA to all these things. And, you know, I mean, I'm sorry.
If you look at the Joint Task Force group for your area, that's where they pretty much operate out of, a lot of them.
Where?
Joint Task Force group, that's the FBI stooges. Just like here in Kansas City, they operate out of Gene Baker, county prosecutor's office. And they got a bunch of black stalkers they use to harass people with and so forth. That's where they're operating out of, trying to monitor me consistently. And following me.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. It's not Fort Bliss. It's Fort Bragg. Fort Bragg was the one. We're 81. And that's where the special forces are. Yeah. I've heard of Joint Task Force. There was a Joint Task Force operation in Arizona.
That's what they've set up for everybody in all these cities, the major cities. And they use them out of those. They're operating out of someplace other than an FBI building. Believe me. They're operating out of where they're in secret, more or less. But right out in the open. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, just the CIA is just dirty.
Criminals in action.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. They are criminals in action, and I am totally embarrassed. I would be totally embarrassed if I was anything to do with the CIA.
No, the Otis Johnson, who was super spook, he was William Casey's direct assistant. And look at what they did to Casey. They murdered Casey because he was going to tell the truth about Iran-Contra. They murdered him.
Yeah. The CIA, they're murderers. They're murderers. Yeah. And they need to be exposed. Mm-hmm. Because, Fort Bragg, a lot of the guys that have died at Fort Bragg are Special Forces guys. Well, of course, the Special Forces guys are going to probably consider it a threat.
Yeah, because they've done something. They've used them. They've abused them. And then they get rid of them. That's
right.
What they do.
Well, you know too much now.
That's right.
Well, that's because you trained me to know too much.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that it's not okay what's happening to those troops. And
No, this country's falling apart. And Debbie, I've got to, we're getting up towards the hour mark, but I've got something I have to do. And is there anything else you want to touch on in particular?
Oh, I think we touched on at all. Yeah, so you go ahead and have your dinner, and we'll touch base again.
Okay, now, here, I want you to give out your website.
Well, I have a YouTube channel, Debbie Davis, Arizona National Guard Whistleblower. I'm in uniform. Sometimes it's hard to find my channel, but I'm the blonde in uniform, in a military uniform, Debbie Davis, Arizona National Guard Whistleblower. I have a YouTube channel. I've been on your show, and I've been on a couple of the shows. I'm picky of who I trust talking to.
Well, I want to have you back on, and I want to do it sooner than what we've been doing, because I'm going to start doing a show at least every other day again. So maybe we can put you on this next week or whatever, with some new information and updates and so forth, and we go from there. How's that?
Well, there's a lot. You know, we just touch base because there's not that many whistleblowers left like you and I talking about these types of things, but we also have to keep safe. So, you know, we can only touch on so much, but, you know, out of our own safety. People have to realize that, too.
Yeah.
So
it's like I made that, I've got it up on my site at the top, folks. It's Stu Webb Chronicles video. Now, it says copyrighted all over it, and that's all going to be taken off when the full master deal is done. But there's going to be added some other things to that, because the person's coming back to video some more, and a couple other people. They're very significant. But what I released in that video, people need to listen to it and listen to the content of it, because it's very powerful. Even though, you know, you can't see my face that well because it's got the copyright. But the guy who was doing it wanted to do several people, and I've turned him on to you, and he's probably going to be in touch with you. He does does TV commercials, etc., for a living, but he became a patriot in 2012, and he's already videotaped Jim Fetzer as well. So anyway, this video, you might listen to it, but he did not want to put his name after visiting with me. He says, "Stu, that'd kill me if I release my name with this." I said, they might. So he didn't want his name put on there.
Right.
Anyway.
I saw that video where you just kind of tell the whole story from, they still put it out there, the whole story.
But, I want to thank you very much for coming on, and we'll do this next week again. Okay?
Okay. All right. Have a good day.
Hey, you have a good weekend. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.